dear, don't expect that. And I'll tell you where to come in, Lorna. It's not your turn, right? Right. Yes. You've got to come in right. I've got you. Yeah. Right. So let me ask you. Who is your role model in life? Is it your mum? Is it your dad? Have I got a PowerPoint? No. Started too soon, haven't I, Steve? Sorry, Steve. Right, lovely. Right, so thinking about role models, who's your role model in life? Is it your mum? Is it your dad? Maybe an uncle or an auntie? Or somebody that you've grown up with, somebody's helped bring you up, that is very special to you? They've shown you, you know, they've corrected you when things have gone wrong. They might have been there. Maybe your parents were. Who is your role model? That's a question, isn't it? I know mine's Jesus. I hope yours is Jesus as well. Yeah. So I know as I was growing up, and I was bringing up my children, there were lots of struggles. I know that we all struggle, especially when we have children to start, don't we? We don't know what to do, really. There's not an instruction manual. So, you know, we struggle, don't we? And that. Not so bad with a second one, but then you get another child who's completely different, and you think, oh dear, I want the first one back. They're a bit better behaved, aren't they? Yeah. So, yeah, there was no point in making that statement, was there? Because we have some strange children. But they are yours, and you love them, don't you? Yeah, so, yeah. Sorry for the bad joke, Adrian. I struggled when I was bringing up my children. But Jesus is my role model. And he can help you with all situations. Any situation you get, he can help. He is our guiding light, isn't he? Because there's plenty of people that do come to church, and I know that's not us. They come to church and they say all the right things, and they do all the right things. They're like a model citizen within the church. But they're not fully committed to God. They haven't fully surrendered to him. And they don't have that relationship. So what's your stance, is all I'm asking. I know when I was a boy, I told you a little bit before when I first introduced myself, I don't know how I grew up, because I come from Australia a long time ago when I was six. So I believed in God. I knew there was a God. But I didn't really know him. I didn't have a relationship with him. I wasn't aware of the things he was doing in my life, and I didn't recognise that I didn't have that proper relationship with him. But I know who he is now, and I know what he truly means to me now. I know the things he's done for me, the things he's doing in my life, and the things he will do in my life. So, like when I was younger, I didn't really feel anything. I didn't feel like I belonged to anyone, even though my mum did a wonderful job bringing me up. But I just felt quite lonely inside. I felt isolated because I was a little bit different. Australian with long hair and glasses. I used to stamp on my glasses to get rid of them, but then the National Health people keep bringing them back. I thought, ugh. Yeah, so did I tell you when my nana put the bowl on my head? So I'd hair down to here, so I'd just cut round. And my nana used to, because my nana was in the war and all that, She used to place a bowl on my head and just cut around it. And I had to go to school like that. And we didn't have a lot of money. And I hope my mum's not watching. Is my mum on there, Steve? No, so she said she might. But we didn't have a lot of money. I couldn't afford a lot of things. So my nan used to have been, I was the only one in the whole school. We used to go to Sir Frederick Osborne. We had a burgundy uniform, yeah. Everybody else had the stuff. I had my nan's knitted cardigan. It was a jumper, a cardigan, but it was like big bobbled wool and a haircut and glasses. But it just didn't go too well, really. So I struggled to have relationships, and because I was a bit different, I spoke with an Australian accent, I presume, at six. Just come back from Australia, people saw me as different. So it did spark off a lot of bullying and pain for me. So I think I just didn't know where I belonged. But when I found God, I knew where I belonged. That made all the difference, and I'm stronger now than ever. Yeah. So like I said, as an adult, I feel different. I can't explain it, but I know it's because I have a relationship with Jesus. And he loves me, and I love him. I feel whole, and I feel complete. And I feel protected, and I feel safe. Yeah. God also gave me Lorna and my family, a lot of them. There's quite a lot of them. Yeah. If anybody wants one, you can come and we'll negotiate a price. But I have my wonderful family here, this wonderful church family. As it says in the song, I have a future and it's worth living. Josh Baldwin, Made for More, if you're wondering. Good song. So, I know in this church we're in constant relationship with him. And we know that none of us are perfect and we can do no more, but we love him, don't we? We love him in this church. So Lorna, now you can come on. So Lorna's going to do a little sort of reading introduction to what I'm going to be doing.
If you haven't guessed already, our talk today is going to be on Jesus Saves. And I came across this article and I thought, God must be watching over us because we've been thinking about this for at least 2 weeks. Put me off now. Right, okay. So I came across this article by Jonathan Parnell. And he's a pastor in Minnesota. And I thought it was quite relevant to what we were talking about, what we're going to be talking about today. And Mark will enhance that as we go on. So, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's from Luke 19, chapter 10. Christianity is summed up in these words: Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. If we were asked to describe in a sentence the heart of the gospel, there it is. I'll get there in a minute. So, there is no other news like this. Every other religion says it's the that it's backwards. Every other religion tells us to seek. We are advised to climb trees like Zacharias, to depend upon our own exertion for our any hope of ascending to the divine. We are told to bridge the gulf by our efforts. If you want salvation, they say, then seek it. In a sense, that is the world we live in, a planet full of seekers. We are, in one way or another, tree climbers, maneuvering ourselves to gain some advantage, to achieve some perspective, to find personal peace, and then Jesus comes. We are lost in our own seeking until Jesus comes and says, "Hurry up, come down." Luke 19, verse 5. Stop your searching. Stop trying to save yourself. I have come to seek and to save the lost. Our exertion is then silenced. All our seeking, our trying to reach the divine on our own is silenced when we learn that the divine has reached down to us. By becoming one of us, here we are spinning our wheels in hope of getting God, and then God, despite our belittling works, comes to get us. That gulf we couldn't bridge is the burden he takes upon himself. We were lost sinners who rightly deserve God's judgment, and Jesus came to take the judgment for us. He suffered in our place on the cross, was dead and buried, and then on the third day was raised to life. He ascended to the Father's right hand from where he reigns over all. Jesus saw us and he has saved us. If we trust him, do you believe this? Do you feel the wonder of salvation? Jesus, you are the one who saves, not us. Thank you for rest, for hushing the furious winds of our Father's work. Thank you for stopping the striving of our souls. Overcome us more and more with the glory of your grace, and make our posture towards others echo in this summary of your gospel. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.
Well, thank you, Laura. That concludes my speech. Right, so we go home. Let's have Adrian's cake now. I think that's covered most of it. I'm going to emphasise it, right, okay. Right, next slide, please, Steve. Right. In Psalms 121, 1 to 8, it says, "Look up to the mountains. From where does my help come from? From my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." So I'm going to give you a few facts now. So there's something a little bit different. This is very echoey, Steve. Was it just me? Quite echoey. So some people ask, how can you prove that God exists? I'm going to give you a few examples. Right, so listen to this. I'm going to give you a few facts. So next slide, Steve. There we go. In the Bible, Noah took 8 people with him on the ark to save humanity. Modern science has now proved that there are 8 major blood types in the world. Think on it, yeah. Next one, Steve. Yeah, that one, right, lovely. Satan was known as the serpent, and Jesus was known as the Lamb of God. Do you know the only anti-venom that can be used to completely neutralize the bite of a snake is the blood of the lamb? Wow. Yes. Wow. There you go. And then the next one, Steve. In Colossians 1-17, it says, "He is before all things, and in him, in all things hold together." So the next fact. Next one, Steve. Right. People think the skin holds us together, holding all our organs in. That's what people think. But it's a protein molecule called laminin. Have you heard of that? Yeah. So it is literally the glue that holds us together. And if you look under the microscope, if you have a look at that picture, that is what you see. A perfect cross. So what's that telling you? Yes, exactly. Next one, Steve. So when Jesus died on the cross, when he rose from the dead, he left behind the cloth that covered his face. It was folded on the stone where his body laid. So now in the old days, in Jewish culture, when the master had finished eating, he would throw down his napkin. Now, if he wasn't finished, he would fold it up because he was coming back. Now, Jesus left a folded cloth where his head lay, literally telling us that he's not finished, he's coming back. Amen. Amen. Right, so I'm gonna go over the stuff that Lorna was talking about. So we're talking about Zacchaeus when he climbed that tree. So I'm gonna read the passage. So Luke 19:1-10 says, that's a bit small, isn't it? Never mind, I'll read it to you. Jesus was passing through Jericho. There was a chief tax collector named Zacchaeus, who was rich. Zacchaeus was a little man, and he wanted to see Jesus. So he climbed a sycamore tree, and Jesus looked up and he said, "Hurry down, Zacchaeus, because I must stay at your house today." The people started grumbling because Jesus was going to the home of a sinner. However, Zacchaeus promised to give half his belongings to the poor and pay back 4 times as much to anyone he had cheated. And Jesus concluded by saying, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Amen. So I'm just going to talk about that. Steve, do you want to put up the picture of Zacchaeus in a tree? And that's the last one. Yeah, lovely. Right, so I'm just going to talk about that now. So, it was one of the most beautiful stories in the Gospels, in this meeting between Jesus and Zacchaeus. It is a story about grace, transformation, and the heart of God to those who seem far away from him. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector in Jericho, and he was wealthy, but he was not respected. Tax collectors often, they worked for the Romans anyway, the Roman authorities, and they were viewed as dishonest and untrustworthy. Yet despite his wealth and position, Zacchaeus had a deep desire and he wanted to see Jesus. So the Bible tells us that Zacchaeus was short in stature, and because of the crowd, he could not see Jesus. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree. So imagine that, imagine the scene. A wealthy official running through the streets and climbing a tree like a child. He was willing to risk embarrassment because he wanted to catch a glimpse of Jesus. And I think if we were in that position, we'd want to catch a glimpse of Jesus, wouldn't we? Yeah. So there's a lesson here. People who truly seek Jesus Christ, there will be no obstacles to stop us. We seek him, he will come to us, we will find him. Perhaps the obstacle might be pride, or fear, or disappointment, or past mistakes, but that doesn't matter to Jesus. Zacchaeus teaches us that when we are determined to meet Jesus, you will find a way. He found a way. In Jeremiah 29:13 it says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. As Zacchaeus sat in that tree, he thought he was looking for Jesus. But when Jesus arrived, he stopped, he looked up, and he called him by name. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So Jesus knew his name, so that must have been a wonderful moment for Zacchaeus. Absolutely wonderful. But Jesus knew his name. Jesus knew his story. Jesus knew his sins, and Jesus still chose him. The crowd saw a sinner, but Jesus saw a soul. Amen. So this heart of the gospel, we often think that we are searching for God. But the greater truth is God is searching for us. Jesus came to seek the lost. So no one is beyond his reach. No one is too broken and no one is too far gone. So in that time, the people began to complain and they could not understand why Jesus would enter the house of a sinner. So notice something important. Jesus shows acceptance before Zacchaeus made any promises of change. Jesus did not say, clean yourself up first and I will visit you. He offered grace. That's what he did. He offered grace first. And God's grace does not ignore sin, but it reaches people before they have fixed themselves. The love of Christ is often the very thing that leads people to repentance. So Jesus, he had a mission, didn't he? So the story concludes with one of the most powerful statements that Jesus made. He said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save them.
Right, is that okay? Yeah, okay. Right, so the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So this verse summarizes his mission. Jesus came. He came for the outcast. He came for the sinners. He came for the forgotten and the guilty and the broken. He came for Zacchaeus, and he can come for us. So the story of Zacchaeus reminds us of three truths. Seek Jesus with determination. Jesus knows you personally. He calls you by name. He knows all of our names. He knows our hearts. An encounter with Christ transforms our lives. Like Zacchaeus, we may have climbed up trees searching for meaning, hope or purpose. The good news is that Jesus stops and he looks up and he calls us. He calls us by name, himself. Today, he invites us not merely to see him from a distance, but to welcome him into our lives. And when we do, we discover the same truth that Zacchaeus discovered. Today, salvation has come to our house. Amen. Right, so the impact of faith often manifests in several different areas. So inner peace and freedom. Many people report that turning to Jesus releases them from heavy burdens, such as addiction, depression, anger, and replaces them with deep joy and emotional stability. A sense of purpose. Instead of living for superficial or worldly success, individuals often discover a profound calling to help others, demonstrating compassion and forgiveness and unconditional love. That's what Jesus teaches us, isn't it? And grace. Unlike following strict religious rules, experiencing Jesus is described as an ongoing daily transformation where mistakes and guilt are forgiven, allowing believers to view themselves and others through the lens of grace. Amen. And community. Faith typically connects people with a supportive church family, mentors and lifelong friendships, so they never feel alone on their journey. So, on your table, I've got a little task. There's a piece of paper and lots of pens. I want you to write down the name of one person that you know doesn't belong to Jesus yet. Somebody you hope in your family or in your life, because I know I'd write down my brother, that you hope that they'll find Jesus at some point if they haven't found him yet. So write down one person that you want to pray for that needs to find Jesus, and then just put it in your pocket or your handbag and take it home, and then you can pray for them. Lovely, thank you. Right, so you keep that safe on yourself, and then when you have the opportunity to pray for them, please pray for them, and hopefully that seed will be planted and Jesus will reveal themselves to that person. Amen. Yeah, so Jesus literally chose people, and he said, when he was choosing his people, he said, what did he say? He said, follow me. It follow me, that's all he said. James, Peter, follow me. He kept saying that, didn't he? So in these times, it hasn't really changed. People still go and they still follow their own selfish ways, don't they? They can do everything in their own strength. And in the old days, people were easily distracted and they kept giving up on God. And you know, we know from the Bible. And then they'd make a golden calf and start worshipping other gods. And similar sort of thing today. We worship money or possessions or things like that. So today we're distracted by wealth and money and people making their own idols to a certain extent. So what's different? Not different, is it? But the one thing we can rely on and put our trust in is Jesus, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. And he lives today. He's here for all of us. And don't forget, he gave us the Holy Spirit to help us. Power. He gave us power. So he'll never let us down. He'll always be there to support us in every aspect of our lives, in everything we do. Just call on him. He's there. He's working in you all the time. So let's follow him. Let's follow Jesus. Right, we're gonna pray, and then we're gonna end, and we're gonna eat Adrian's cake. Right, let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your love, mercy, and saving grace. Thank you for the lives you have touched, and the hearts you have transformed, and the hope that you bring to this world. We pray that you will continue to save lives physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Reach those who have not yet come to you and let them know. Let them know that you're the light that shines in the places of darkness, and you bring healing and peace and redemption. Strengthen those who serve others in your name, and protect the vulnerable. Protect the grieving, and guide those who are searching for the truth. May your compassion be seen through acts of kindness, justice, and love. Open our hearts to receive your grace and to help us to be instruments of your peace. Give us courage to share hope, wisdom to serve faithfully, and humility to reflect your character. May your saving power continue to work throughout the world, drawing people closer to you and bringing new life where it is needed the most. In your holy name, we pray. Amen. Amen.